Today I'd like to start my message off by talking about a show that came out recently on YouTube. This YouTube channel produces a show called Surrounded. What they do for this show is they choose an expert on one side of a topic, usually someone well-known in their field, and then they surround them, hence the title Surrounded, they surround them with people that believe the exact opposite thing as this person. And so then for about 45 minutes to an hour, they sit there and debate these conversations, and you have titles like, these are different examples of ones that they've released, different episodes. They have one conservative versus 25 LGBTQ plus people, or one atheist versus 25 Christians. So they do these debates, and it gets heated. We were talking about it a little bit before. And recently, they had this guy named Patrick Bet-David on. I don't know if anyone knows who that is. I listen to him a good amount. He's a commentator. And his title of his was A Capitalist versus 20 Anti-Capitalists. Now, my goal today is to not discuss the difference between capitalism and socialism, but what I'd like to do is just use this story to kind of set the context. Because the main crux between the debate between capitalism and anti-capitalists really is whether people in a capitalist society have the chance to be successful or not. Do they have the chance to be successful? And so it was interesting because it's this hour and a half long debate, but it always seems to be like in these moments, in these videos, there's just one or two moments that really stand out. And so Ariana and I were listening to it on our drive back from our wedding, a wedding. A wedding we were at last weekend, we were driving back and we were listening to it. And there was this one moment where this guy gets up and you know, you're like trying to figure out where do I stand exactly on this debate. So this guy gets up there, he says, I've lived in poverty my entire life. He says, I work 80 hours a week for the only jobs that would ever hire me. He said, I've applied to over 477 jobs over the last 2.5 years and he hasn't gotten a single call back. He asked, this was part of the crux of this discussion, he asked, so why am I still poor? I'm doing all the things you're asking. I'm doing all the people that doing all the things that you're telling people that they need to do. Why am I still poor? Now, as this kid was telling his story, it was a little bit smirky. It sounds like I said it in a genuine way, and he was genuine, but he was a little bit snarky about it. He was being a little bit inflammatory, and he said it kind of in a rude way. So Patrick Bet-David asked him a question. He said, why do you feel like a victim? Which sounds insensitive, but it really turned out to be this genuine and perceptive question. And the kid said, well, because I exist and these things happen to me. So this was the moment. Patrick Bet-David says, how about this? You seem like a hard worker. Let's document this. After this whole debate ends and it's done, I will interview you and I will hire you. And in 90 days after I hire you, we'll give you a review on how you did. So he offers him this position. And the kid says, sure. And then within seconds, he says, well, I'll have to actually think about that. Are you going to pay me a livable wage? And is that livable wage according to your standards of livable or my standards of livable? And instantly, the whole offer just fell apart. And Ariana and I are sitting there like shocked. This guy who says he works 80 hours a week just to scrape by, who has applied to almost 500 jobs, who just said he can never get ahead, just got an offer from one of the most successful people in the whole online media world, a life-changing offer, and he said, well, I'll just have to think about it, see if it fits my needs. And so I wanted to capture the essence of this conversation because it was this shocking moment where Ariana and I are sitting there like, did that really just happen? And It struck a chord because this student or this person in his current situation, he just didn't seem to want the opportunity. It just seems like he was trying to come up with any excuse to say no. So why did I bring up this conversation? Well, ultimately, I realized as you listen to this whole hour and a half discussion between capitalists and anti-capitalists, wherever you fall on that side of the conversation, the question is, or the thing that I noticed was that everyone and most of the people in this conversation demonstrated an attitude of victimhood. And so the question I'd like to ask us today is, do we adopt this attitude of victimhood? Because we live in a world that is going crazy, right? We can talk about it forever. We have a war going on in Ukraine that seems to never end. We have this massacring of people in the Middle East. Here in the U.S., the national debt is $37 trillion. And the AI technology that's coming out is saying they're going to take a lot of these mainstream jobs that people normally do, these maybe low wage jobs. While at the same time, these same tech people are casually saying that there's like a 20% chance the world can end with AI. Only 20% though. And then you could look at it even on a more personal level. The average age of a first-time homebuyer in the United States is now 38 years old. 38 years old. While all these billionaires, if you look at what they're buying bunkers for protection while everything is going crazy. Internally, young people are influenced by social media influencers who embrace everything but God and godly morals and values. Attention spans are getting shorter, phones are becoming more addictive, and from my first now point of view, school started back. A large majority of the students that I teach in ninth grade can't do simple multiplication facts. And so the reality is, as many of us know, that this world we live in is a mess. And so my first point today is, though, although sometimes it may feel like this daunting situation, we must always thank God every day that He has blessed us with the opportunity to have a relationship with Him through the sacrifice of His Son. Because without His sacrifice, without His calling, this calling that we've decided to receive, or that God has called and we've received, without that blessing of His word, we would be facing all the doom and gloom of this world without the hope of the coming kingdom of God. And so part of the reason I wanted to talk about this topic today is because when we're looking around us and wanting to feel like a victim, we have something that a lot of people in the world don't have. We know that Christ has won. We know that He will return to establish His throne on earth, and we know He will be glorious. But even in knowing those things, it's still so easy to struggle with feeling like a victim. Now, I'd like to go more in depth on that, but I only have limited time today, so I'll have to save that for another message. But there's another subtle form of victimhood that I'd like to focus on today that I think we need to be careful of. And the reason why I want to focus on it is because at first, it doesn't come across as a victimhood mindset. I want you to think, how often do we look at the world around us and all the craziness and think, it is what it is, it's Satan's world? Or we say something like, well, Christ is going to return soon anyway, so what can you do? Another thing I often hear is, this is just how it's going to be at the time of the end. What can you do? We just have to wait for Christ to return. These comments are all things that I hear so often, and they're tricky. They're really tricky. Because the thing is about all of those comments I just made is maybe all of them are true. Maybe Christ is going to return soon. This is the world. Maybe they're all true. But what they have the danger of doing is causing people to be passive victims. We live in a world that is dark and scary. The world is evil and has a lot of problems. But in reality, the world has always been dark. Think about it. When you read the New Testament, it seems that Paul and the apostles thought Christ was maybe going to return during their time when they were alive. And in reality, when you really start to think about it, every generation has probably thought that Christ was going to return since He ascended on the Mount of Olives. But how did the apostles respond? How did Paul respond? Did they just coast through life sitting on their hands waiting for Christ to return? Did they just sit back? Well, we obviously know the answer is no. What did they do? They set out to change the world regardless of the external circumstances surrounding them. They set out to preach the gospel and to spread the good news of the coming kingdom of God. And so what I'd like to do is read what Paul was going through, some of Paul's perspective. If you want to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I read this verse before. We all have probably, hopefully, if you haven't, it's a good verse to read because Paul is going out thinking that maybe potentially Christ is going to return. He's going out to spread the gospel, preach the mission. And what did he go through? What was the world like for him? What were the circumstances that he came across? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, start at verse 23. He's talking about these people in the church. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool because I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. I'm in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. In prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, and in perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among the false brethren. In weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, and hunger and thirst and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. So Paul here is going out and preaching the gospel, knowing that the world around him was what the world around him was like. He knew what it was going to be like when Christ was returned, and somehow he thought maybe he'll come around this time. And yet he was not content with sitting back and just letting the world happen. Just letting the world get worse until Christ returned. He risked his life over and over to teach and be with brethren. And we can see that throughout the book of Acts, I recommend going and just reading the book of Acts. Throughout the book of Acts, Paul and the apostles went everywhere. Despite these external circumstances surrounding them, they were relentlessly fearless. And they continuously pursued their mission in the face of all pushback. And that's how we need to be. Because yes, brethren, we live in a fallen world full of darkness and chaos. But we've been given the hope of light in the coming kingdom of God. That hope shouldn't cause us to sit back passively and just wait for it. That hope should be vivid enough in our minds that we can overcome any scenario. That we can continue to improve our lives and share that hope with others. And work to improve the world around us. Because when we look at the apostles, when we look at Paul, and in a lot of cases, when we look at anyone in the Bible who had dedicated their lives to God, they never sat around allowing the world to turn them into victims, allowing the system to just turn them into victims. They went out and they pursued the mission that God called them to do, even though it wasn't always smooth. It wasn't always ideal. And maybe we are getting close to the time of the end. Maybe we are seeing the collapse of society, and maybe Christ is returning soon. But at the end of the day, these are not excuses to be complacent. We truly have the ability to make change. And so, brethren, we should all be striving to be like the people in the Bible who came before us. We should be inspired that in the face of all evil Paul faced in the world around him, he never stopped. He kept pushing. We should never allow ourselves to fall victim to complacency and victimhood. Instead, we should fight, and fight hard, so that at the end of our lives we can say what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:6 through 8. I'll just read it. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing.